Welcome to a brand new season of Broker's Playbook. This is Simeon Papaelias, and today I have the great pleasure of interviewing one of the funniest men in the real estate business, Mr. Matt Campoli. Matt is a podcast host. He is a realtor. He is a true professional with a great and thriving book of business. He's going to share with us today his playbook, what worked for him in 2022, what he plans on doing to continue to remain relevant in 2023, and how we can all take a page out of his playbook to put into our businesses and seek some of that same success he has experienced. Without further ado, here's Matthew.
Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure for joining me, my man.
Can I take that and just make that my bio?
You can make that your bio, bro.
I would love to do that. I'm just sending my assistant right now. But thanks for having me, man. I love your tonality, the way you speak.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, we've got to put emphasis on the things that matter.
Yeah.
In this case, today you matter.
Thank you. My mom says the same.
And I believe her.
That's about it, though.
I want to get started on a really, really good foot for everyone listening. And what I mean by that, I want everyone to, most people, again, as I said, there's obviously a few people that have never heard of you, and that's fine. There's most people that have never heard of me, which is great. But by bringing you on here, what I want people to really get out of this, this time with us, is how to create a brand while maintaining a business, while delivering value to your clients that is as impactful as the fun you seem to be having while working. Mm-hmm. So it is a complex little value proposition that you've put in play. And I want to understand it furthermore. And I want you to tell me how you've intertwined entertainment, business, value to your brothers and sisters in the business, and align those with your goals.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, growing up, I always secretly wanted to be on a TV show or something of that nature. And then I went to school for history, started a barber business. No real direction of where I wanted to be until about 23 years old. It was more so like that time where I was not knowing. I was just honing in on the skills that were working, right? With the barbering, it's just, I'm a people person. I could sit down with everyone like a chameleon. They could be different background, age group, interests, and I could just hold it down for half an hour every single time.
And they want every half hour for that matter.
Every half hour. Someone new. I can have 12-year-old kid come in and a 45-year-old man, you know? But that allowed me to be quick on my feet, really good with the conversation, to listen. And then that woke up an entrepreneurial spirit in me, which I never had, because I always had like a self-doubt. So a combination of that and some self-development work on myself started to build up the courage and the confidence to say, oh, I could be something, you know? Fast forward, my mother bought her first house because we always rented growing up. So I went to the showing and I saw the agent pull up in his Mustang, do his thing. I didn't even know anything about the business. I understood there was, you know, real estate agents out there. But once I saw him do his thing, kind of put two and two together for myself. Like, I've built this great network for myself through barbering. I don't want to teach history, which I was doing in university. I don't want a ceiling for myself either. I want to be able to make whatever.
You had a Bachelor of Arts.
I had a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah.
I just wasn't content with the salaries out there. You know?
Sure.
I thought more for myself. So I saw this guy do his thing. I'm like, you know, I'm going to look into this real estate gig. And then looked into it, saw the potential, said, perfect. Let me take the skills I just built for myself, try this business out. And that was it. Everything I've been kind of doing, just been throwing myself in the deep end with the content, with everything, the brand build, everything.
Yeah.
You know, I have my mentors for sure. But for me, it was a lot of trial and error. I'm still doing trial and error. right?
I'm still doing trial and error.
Yeah.
And I'm 17 years in. So let me take you back to that first year then. So how old were you when you got into the business?
24.
So 24, you get your license since year one. What did that feel like? What did it look like? How did you do your first year?
It was, I did well. I still did six figures. It was intimidating for sure. Especially not having any sort of business background besides just, you know, creating my own little thing with my barber business, but never took business courses, never took anything like that. Maybe I knew economics a little bit, supply demand, but, I had to get over my own paradigm of, I could do this job just like the guys who are crushing it out there. I always thought of myself like, oh, like, you know, I'm never gonna be able to do 500K a year like this guy because he's a really good agent. Can I get there? Probably not. So mm-hmm. I had to just get through barriers of my own self-doubt.
Self-limitation.
Yeah, and it ended up just crushing him. Picked up good momentum. Luckily, I was still barbering.
So just tell me that a little bit. How did you get your first client? So you said you did six figures. Let's just call it you did 10 deals, or how many deals did you do?
Nine.
Nine deals in the GTA puts mm-hmm. you well into the six figures. So deal number one came from where?
That was through referral.
Referral. Why did they refer you? What was the expectation that you had to meet?
It came from a barber client. I already built up all of his trust. I had his hair, mm-hmm. you know, in my hands weekly.
For sure.
So he's like, you know, Matt's
it is an intimate, it is an yeah. intimate yeah. relationship.
Actually. It worked in my favor. So he referred his cousin to me. He knew I was young. I was straight up like, you're my first one. He's like, I love that because you're going to, all your energy is on me. I said, 100% it's going to be on you.
I love that.
Right. And I'm going to wow you.
And so I did. It was that the focus of your value prop as a new agent?
It was. A lot of the times.
It's brilliant.
I walked in. I said, hey, like, I'm single. I'm a young kid. I'm ambitious. I don't have kids to deal with at home. Don't have anything to deal with at home. I'm all yours. Like, you're my full-time job. That was my way around. I'm new. Was that I'm going to give you 3,000%. Versus someone else who has maybe a portfolio of listings. I definitely leveraged
that. So going from that very first deal, I want to go to your ninth deal that year. It's still your first year. You're at deal number nine. I know, again, like to put this into real estate timeline, to do 10 deals a year probably takes about, I would say, a solid 4 to 5 hours a day every day, 7 days a week of work mm-hmm. To put those deals together. So to extrapolate that easily to anyone, if you work 12 to 14 hours a day, every day, you can easily do 30 to 40 deals a year. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. But let's go back to deal number nine. What did that feel like? Do you remember where it came from? Who was your last deal of that year? What was it like?
So it
where was your confidence? How did you manage it?
That fall, everything just started to really, the snowball kicked in, like the momentum. So I was just banging out. A lot of the nine deals came in the end of the year. I did start on the socials right away, and I did get told not to. So that's a funny story. We'll get into that later. But this one came from the gym. It was a guy I knew from the gym. He, same idea. I was like, listen, you want to buy a house? I'm all yours. Like any hour of the day, I'm yours. Let's go. I'll take care of you and your family. $1.2 million deal, my biggest one in terms of commission. Great end of the year. Like I was just,
what a tremendous result.
Right. So, like I was flying by the end of the year, like mentally everything. And it really pushed me into the next year.
That was 5 years ago because you're 6 years in the business mm-hmm. going into your seventh.
It'll be seven full years this November.
Amazing. So be it as it may, that's 5 years ago. Let's talk about, you mentioned socials, you got started right away, and there was a story behind that. I've never heard that story, so I definitely want to hear it. Where you are on socials today is above and beyond vanity metrics, which I'm not so concerned about. What I am impressed by is your commitment to your socials mm-hmm. and what those socials look like. Take us now through when you started, what you thought socials were. And socials, have, of course, evolved as well. Socials 5 years ago are not socials today.
Yeah.
Tell me about the journey of 5 years of socials. Why you committed to it, what you thought your mind was telling you to do, and other people clearly told you not to.
Yep.
And what happened and what that means today.
Yeah, so I was pretty active on Instagram at the time, through the barbering stuff.
That's huge on Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram is made for beauty services. Like, that's one of the biggest industries on. Yeah. Awesome.
So I started to post my haircuts. I made a separate channel for that as well. And I was getting business from it, right? And if it wasn't from, you know, if I was meeting someone in person for the first time, it's like, oh, like, show me some of your work. Bang, I had my resume right there in my Instagram. So I figured the same for real estate. You know, if I'm out there promoting these houses, let me have some sort of a backbone in terms of I do work, I do sell. So people go on and I have proof, right? My broker was my mentor at the time. He definitely can laugh at this now, Joe. He said that I would be wasting my time completely on there. I was doing the cold calling. I was doing the door knocking. I was doing it all. I had Mike Ferry. I was banging it out daily. But he's like, don't waste your time on there. You're never going to get business from Instagram. When I'm told not to do something, I'll do it. Ten times harder.
Thank God.
That's just how I am.
Thank God.
So,
and this is not a knock to Joe, but that's just a different generation speaking his truth.
Exactly.
He will never get a lead off Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, one man's reality is not another man's destiny.
Exactly.
And that is huge kudos to Joe, actually, because that's a testament to the traditional real estate game, which is still very alive today.
For
and
sure.
You can make billions on it.
Oh, yeah.
So just a quick.
No. Yeah. But, and he has sold billions. Like, he's up there. So to even having a figure like that in front of me saying, don't waste your time, I still was like, no. Something about it was like, I got to do it. I'm younger. My friends are on here. Let's go. Yeah. So start to double down. I'm like, I'm going to get that first deal, and I'm going to shove it in his face. And I just started to, every listing I could get my hands on, or if I was had a free day, I would just go into condos and just make Instagram stories and just post a ton of video that I'm always in some sort of property. And I started to build on that, seeing what worked. Where was I getting the most engagement? Okay, people are reaching out on this. Let me post more of that. No one's reaching out on this. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then the time came where I got...
So trial, A-B testing.
Exactly.
A-B testing.
Because there wasn't too many that were really popping off on the socials yet for real estate.
Yeah.
It was the standard, here's my listing, here's the kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, backyard, right? I said, okay, this is what everyone's doing. How can I differentiate? And that's when I started to make my videos. I'm a weird dude. I'm an interesting character. My friends can all, you know, my girlfriend can't even live with me anymore because I'm just a weird guy. So I'm like, she can live with me. Bring that back. But
maybe she can stay for a bit.
Maybe she's there for a bit. Maybe I think I have one more year left with her. I'm kidding. I love you. I'm like, let me bring out myself, my true authentic self. Let me stop trying to be the guy with the crossed arms, typical headshot, and promoting the bathroom, kitchen, bedroom. Let me bring my own quirkiness to my listings. So the first one was a custom home, 1.3. He just fired his agent and hired me. Again, came through referral. He didn't really know me. So I'm like, okay, here, I'm about to, do I just play it safe or do I go on my idea? I went on my idea. I didn't show him the video at all because I didn't want to get fired. I just had that in the back of my head. Like, if I show this guy that I'm making a funny video in this custom home that he built, he might fire me. So I just didn't show him. I'm like, well, just put on the socials. He doesn't have to know. And it did extremely well. Like, it popped off. Everyone was dying of laughter. It was essentially me and a partner at the time. He was showing off the house, and I was doing stupid shit in the background. I was cooking upside, like I had a salt shaker upside down, coming out of the cantina in the basement with tomato jars, you know, like doing like just.
But it's funny.
Yeah, it worked, and everyone, and then I started to go out and in person, and people would come up to me like, "Hey, you made that video of you having the banana on the couch." I'm like, "Yeah," like I love that video. I showed this person. I'm like, "Okay, this shit's working," you know. That's all those eyes. Like, even if the buyer didn't come from there, but still, just the exposure, and then. I had people saying, like, I want you to make a video like this for my house when you sell it. And then I just, right then and there, I knew, okay, I'm going to be Matt from now on. I'm not a real estate agent anymore. I'm just Matthew Campoli.
A couple of key things that I don't want to be brushed under the carpet or forgotten. You said, when we were still talking about the beginning and Joe, you said, my friends are on there. My friends are on there.
Yeah.
If your audience, if your friends, family, and people that you know, we all know that everybody is on their phones 24/7, if they could. At any given moment, myself included, which I am 42 years old, I'm born in 1980. That puts me as kind of the end of the previous generation, where I still do not like social media as much as potentially your generation, which is just 10 years behind.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know as a fact that I check my Instagram, maybe not as much as you, but 80% as much as you,
mm-hmm.
with that growing daily.
Yep.
I'm not talking about technology, I'm talking about social media. Because when social media was first introduced, I'm one of the first generation of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when it opened.
Yep.
2007.
Yep.
I was there. I got the account. I had a MySpace account before that when I was 17.
Me too.
So I will say that the adoption and understanding of social is different for everyone, but we can definitely agree that the majority of this planet is connected and on social one way or another. So you said my friends are on there, so I'm doing it.
Yep.
My advice to everyone is the world is on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your world, the world that you want to get into, or otherwise, this is no longer an option.
Yep.
Being active or engaged, unless you are actually promoting yourself, your service, and what you do, there is no real future outside of that.
Yeah.
Because Facebook and Instagram, whether they survive or not, and they continue to TikTok and MikTok, it doesn't matter. It will continue.
Mm-hmm.
It will evolve.
Yeah.
Into Spaces, into Twixer, into whatever the case may be. But we will be there as business people, and we will be there as human beings to entertain.
Because mm-hmm.
you saw a break when people laughed.
Yes.
And they laughed at you being you,
mm-hmm.
which you said, forget Matthew Campoli, the agent. You said, how about Matthew Campoli?
Yeah.
So genuine intention
mm-hmm.
to service your business interest while entertaining everyone.
Yeah.
Because you make me laugh. And I have nothing to buy from you.
Yeah.
But it creates an environment that when I see you, you don't think the traditional things when you see your colleagues. Like talk about business. I want to talk about your funny video.
Yeah.
What has that done for you from the way you're perceived? Like I'm a lead trainer and facilitator to one of the biggest trainings in North America, the Workman Success Systems. And I teach authenticity.
Yep.
And I teach, what do you want people? So I ask all my students, my trainees, when you walk into a room, what do you want people to feel? And when you leave the room, what do you want people to talk about? Because mm-hmm. they will talk about you when you leave the room.
Yeah.
What do you want them saying? Let me ask you that question.
Yeah. I'm a big energy guy. So walking into a room, I want to bring the best possible version of myself.
What is the best energy?
So
how do you define awesome energy?
It's a combination of everything. Body language. You're vibrating on a higher level, right? So you walk into a room and you're owning it. The confidence is there. You know what I mean? I don't want to be coming in slouched, maybe fiddling with myself or stuttering. I want to come in owning it. You know, I'll prepare myself before each meeting with, just trying to put myself in the room prior to actually being there, how I want it to go, and create this expectation for myself of I'm going to go in there and crush it, no matter who it is, right? And then when I leave, I want them to be wowed at some capacity. I impacted them, because you have people that walk in a room and they're just kind of you can read them or feel it off them, and you have people that come in and light it up. I want to light it up.
And you have people who come in and intimidate. You have people that come in. There's a million different stances to take.
For sure.
When you leave the room, every time you leave a room, what do you want people to feel and or say about the time they spent with? What is it you want to be? Or do you want to be remembered as funny, as knowledgeable, as both, as what do you have this vision that when you leave today here right now,
yep.
what do you think Simeon is going to be thinking about the time we had together on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, me as a person, I'm always going to be myself in that meeting. So I'm going to crack jokes. I will get a laugh out of it. So if they think that I am funny, great. But I also want them to know that I know my shit, right? So that they're in the best hands possible, that they can trust me, and that they can be comfortable enough to call me at any hour of the day. Not intimidated to call me or like, oh, am I bothering Matt? Like, I want them to be as comfortable as possible being represented by me. So that's my goal. And at the same time, having fun.
Yeah, so I would say one of the biggest breakthroughs I had in my life is the day that I need to be funny all the time, not to make other people laugh, but to make me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who laughs at his own jokes all the time. Yeah. Like, I'm giggling right now. Yeah. It's because I need to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice that I made a long time ago, and I'm talking maybe a little over 10 years ago, where for the first time, I had the luxury of A, choosing my clients, and the ability to attract the right clients we can speak to, because that's what actually your content does.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of benefits that I want to bring out of this. And I did it a different way. But the minute your energy becomes the filter, the actual filter for your business and for your whole life, because this business, whether people believe it or like it or not, the real estate business is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Anybody seeking work-life balance maybe needs to look at a different industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you spend in it, the more you realize how it blends itself into all components of your life. So, and then I'm not talking about answering your phone at 11 p.m. for a client. That's a choice. I don't make that choice. But I'm talking about every action you take with your family or with your business always has an impact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday church has to also generate business, for example, for it to make sense in the calendar.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're taking advantage of a church audience, but if that's where you're going to be, it has to serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, with integrity and real intent.
Yeah.
I need to get my faith fix, whatever that may be, church, temple, it doesn't matter what it is, but everything has to, as you grow and succeed, it has to serve more than one purpose.
Yeah.
You talked about crossed arm videos. Right now, and what I want my team to do is, as we're talking, you're making content with Salt Shakers Upside Down. On Saturday this week, I made a video with crossed arms.
Okay.
This is why you're awesome.
Okay.
Because you identify exactly what you should not be doing at this point, and I am still the biggest fan making a video just like this. And it was Bright who directed me to do it. So a big picture of Bright and a big picture of my video right here. And let's take a quick look at Matt's last video.
'Twas the day before Christmas, and all was going great, till Matt Campoli realized his client was late. And though from afar he sure looked quite tired, he soon realized that Santa was hammered.
It's me running around with Santa Claus.
And we love that. I do believe you've succeeded in putting out your brand. So you're here. This is not your first podcast. It might be your 1,000th. But you're here now, and you entered my office today. I already had a presumption of who you are. We spoke about 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the podcast, where I wanted to make sure that I'm aligned, and sure enough, all my presumptions were correct. And that is exactly the value proposition of creating a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So you, Mr. Campoli, have succeeded in my eyes. And let today be the proof yet again that the image that you have created to a colleague, I'm not your client, I'm never buying a house with you, but I need to be able to respect your skill and have questions as to how you do what you do to share and elevate our industry.
Mm-hmm.
The job of Broker's Playbook is to feature people who pitch in to elevate the game.
Yeah.
If there was 3 or 4 different things that you want people to use because you know it was effective, what are 3 practical tips or 4? We can go from mindset, which is a little bit deeper, but from what they can actually do tomorrow. They heard it today. What can they do tomorrow
to create, to get a step closer to executing or maybe on brand? Or what do they need to think of brand? Do they need to look inside? Where would you take that? What would be, you're going to have a playbook on this. What's going to be in your playbook?
Yeah. So when it comes to brand building, yeah, it can definitely start with mindset. That would be a good place to start, because you need to identify who you are. So who is Matt? Who is Simeon? Right? And who are you going to showcase to the world out there? And how what parts of you are, like, for me, it was, if you're out with your friends or you're with family, you're always going to get those common denominators of them commenting like, oh, you should do this, or oh, you're hilarious with this. Or for me, it was my humor, right? So I knew right off the hop, okay, this is something people love. When I was cutting their hair, make people laugh. People come back for the laughs, right? So it's like,
talk about laughs and barbering. If you were to recommend a specific style for me for 2023, what would you do with my locks? What would you do?
You have too much hair to, I wouldn't take you on as a client.
Would you be looking at potentially maybe filling it in a little bit, maybe thinning it out on the sides?
You may like a nice, you have a little bit of bald fave coming up, a little bit longer on top. So kind of liking that.
If I were to tell you that for 3 years I maintained a bald fade while balding, what would you say?
So that's pretty, you should make a course on that. Yeah, broker's playbook for that. For
balding men.
Yeah.
How to support a barber through the first years of his career while balding.
So yeah, like, it starts there, and it also comes from the confidence. So whatever kind of work you got to do to build up your confidence, to want to put yourself out there to the masses. A lot of people suffer from making that first video, or if they, as soon as the camera is near them, they freeze. They're not themselves no more. So how can you put yourselves out there without having to worry about what people think, without having to worry about...
So how do they do that? Give me... So it, there's the practical tip.
There's the tip.
What is it? So if I'm uncomfortable... If I'm inherently uncomfortable the minute that switch goes on, do I tell myself something? What would you recommend?
I mean, you can start off with something basic as affirmations. If your biggest fear is, I don't think you're good on video, write down every single morning, I am the best on camera. I make the best videos. I represent myself in the best possible manner to attract business through my videos. Like little things like that.
Have you used affirmations?
Oh, all the time, every morning.
Are they effective for
you? Yeah, very much so. Because I'll notice every year my goals are changing, because, you know, the first year, for example, wrote down $100,000. It was scary to me, right?
It was for everyone.
Yeah. But as you go, you start to realize your potential, and you start to break through these barriers, these limiting beliefs you have for yourself, and your goals start to get bigger and bigger, and you start to believe in them more and more. Like, now my goals are outrageous, and I believe in them because I know it's going to happen at some point somehow.
Well, somewhat, because you still call them outrageous. So I would correct you on that one.
You're correct, exactly. Yeah. So I won't use that word anymore.
Sorry, big and hairy. That. How about big and hairy?
Yeah, big and hairy. Very hairy goals.
Big and hairy.
So it's a combination of that. And once your confidence is up, and it takes time, because my video, and I can always refer back to it. You can still on my page. I leave it there. My first video ever sucked. It was brutal. But anything happens with practice, consistency, and time. And over time, you'll get more and more comfortable. And once you're able to dial in on having your true self in front of that camera to align with your goals of your brand, it's game over.
Is video the only way, or is video the only medium that you specifically believe in to be the most effective? Or would you say the written word, blogging still have a play, audio, podcast, audio only? Do you think there is a difference, or would you say at the end of the day, video is the most effective?
I mean, it depends on the platform you're using. I have a combination of all of them. If you, I have my audio podcast, I do my videos on Instagram, I have TikTok, YouTube. So if you have the time and systems to hit it all. But video is definitely very effective. You can get your message across, you add some visuals, you know, throw some subtitles depending on what it is, but that can really grab the attention of someone a lot better than a photo. Or blog posts. We all know for someone to sit down and actually read through something nowadays, our attention spans are lessening.
Being further and reduced. Yes.
Exactly. So I think if you want to get something across that's impactful, it's good, it's going to keep someone attentive, video is definitely a powerful tool.
Since you are the gangster of socials, let's say, and you said you're across all platforms, let's speak to a different audience We spoke to the people getting started and or scared to get started. And I truly and genuinely hope to every single one of you, whether it's affirmations you need to do, whether it's simply doing it and understanding that putting in reps is going to grow into bigger biceps. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. You can't expect to lift a 50-pound curl on your first day. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have it. Mm-hmm. So don't compare yourself to anyone other than the person you were yesterday. But to move on from you and to get into somebody who's at it now for 2 or 3 years. What is their playbook to step and get into the next level? What I mean by that, because we can't give people, without knowing what they're doing, we can't give people advice. But can we talk a little bit about building omnipresence? So if you're just doing Instagram Reels, as opposed to shooting it on a camera for that content to be repurposed 14 different ways, tell me a little bit about somebody, about how someone, excuse me, can set up their content or their rig or their setup to be better at repurposing. Do they go offshore for editing? What are some industry tips? We're in North America. We know the costs of studios are insane. How do we, I'm not going to say on a budget, but how do we, thank you so much, on an actual realistic approach, maximize our content and our reach?
Yeah.
What would you say for the intermediate content creator, somebody who's already doing it, but they want to level up? I spoke to two of them last week.
Yeah.
What's your advice?
I mean, you know, doing the outsourcing and all that stuff at home on your own, it's cool. But I think the power is within hiring someone that you can click with, that you can vibe with, that share similar ideas, similar sort of creativity, and lock in on them. Go all in on that one person.
You're talking physically with you.
Yeah. So my camera person will help with my ideas. They understand how I want it to be edited, because you can film something all day, but if it's not edited the way you want to be edited, because that's where the problems can come if you're outsourcing it, then it's not the result you want, right? So if you're able to find someone who matches everything that you, and you aligns with everything you're trying to create, it makes the process that much easier. You're able to go and produce more with the confidence, because you know it's going to turn out amazing. And I would say just batch, like to be consistent with it. Just pick your days, time block it for once a week if that's the case. Bring multiple clothing options and just record a ton of content. It's tiring, but have like 3 espressos in between and you'll be fine.
You'll be just
fine. And you're good for all month. You're good for the whole month.
So the efficiency is doing it with a person that you click with. That way you're never shook with the results. You're never surprised. You never have to retrain people. I see that.
And you can be yourself.
And you can be yourself. I understand that and I appreciate it, because I have that. Uh-huh. I have somebody I respect dearly in the room with us right now that is consistently delivering product that is in line with my values. I am looking to make specific changes in the new year in bringing on younger talent, because my videographer is exactly my age. And he may or may not see the world you do. What I want is not a new videographer or editor. What I want is ideas. Mm-hmm. So speaking to now to from the intermediate, find your person, to a senior now, I'm going to ask for your advice. I have a much bigger budget because I have a much bigger business. What would you advise me to do to become not only more relevant on these younger platforms, because I don't have a TikTok profile, mm-hmm. and I frankly don't have the time to commit to it, so I won't have one.
Yeah.
But Broker's Playbook mm-hmm. does have a TikTok account.
Yeah.
And we are developing a strategy, because Broker's Playbook is going to feature my director of operations, my assistant, you, him, that person. It's a collaborative community.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be about me. Mm-hmm. For my personal brand, though, if I want it to be edgier, or do I want it to be edgier? What should I be asking myself to remain authentic but make a shift? How do you determine the mindset around what's next?
I think for you, because like I mentioned earlier, my first impression of you when I met you, here with you, the way you speak, it's awesome. So you already have something that sets you as a force, in my opinion. Just your voice, tonality, knowledge, all that, right? So if you're able to bring that and repurpose it into different pieces of content a lot more consistently, people are gonna love it. I'd watch all your videos, but just be yourself. You don't have to change anything. The person
you're already. I've never not been myself.
Exactly, and it shows, right? So, whether you're speaking to the market, speaking to things that you would tell your junior agents or your senior agents, there's going to be a ton of people out there who are going to find a ton of value in that. And if you're able to do that consistently, right, whether it's once a day, once every 2 days, and you're posting it, you're going to gain a lot of traction because you're already, you're just being yourself. It's not something you started from scratch. You are Simeon.
Yes.
Right? You run REC. You've established an incredible business that many people would be lucky to even hear what's going on in your head, right? You will have people watching you.
So would you say sharing more content, and I shouldn't say sharing content, documenting maybe what we're doing on a daily basis?
I think you in front of your agents behind the scenes and what you're saying to them, document the repurpose, throw some subtitles on it. You're already teaching it. You're already coaching it. Give other people some insight into how that looks.
So to let the cat out of the bag, it's exactly what we're doing for Broker's Playbook. And for everybody watching, what's coming on socials, not for the podcast, but Broker's Playbook socials are going to feature my super dynamic director of operations who has taken on, let me give you this. So the REC right now for 2023, this is a piece of advice to every single one of you listening, is going to be a tougher year than 2022. There's going to be further less market share, meaning we lost 48% of deals from last year, gone.
Yeah.
Because of interest rates.
Yeah.
Where there's two more coming, two more interest rate hikes.
Yeah.
So we're going to be down further. The competition for the remaining business is going to be fierce. So if every single one of you knows factually that you're going to be competing against myself, Matthew, and every single one of our brothers and sisters in the business, what are you doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
What the REC is doing about it is it has taken its entire roster of intermediate agents who are around that $200,000 mark. So none of these agents can consistently or have consistently created over 20 deals a year in their respective markets across the GTA. None of them. So for them to remain relevant to me as the leader of Royal LePage's second largest organization, is I have taken that group and put them into calling pods and training pods and mentorship pods. They're 3 days a week. They are under the guidance of myself and my director of operations, where they are making supervised 3 hours of calls or 30 calls a day for what we hope to be as an outcome of 60,000 calls that otherwise would not have been made.
Yep.
60,000 calls, my actual KPI, what I'm measuring and tracking is I want to see 200 deals.
Mm-hmm.
20 agents. A deal a month for 10 months.
Yeah.
It's 40 weeks, the program. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And Broker's Playbook is going to feature that on its socials.
Nice.
You just told me you want leadership posts on Simeon.
Yep.
I think as the very first episode of 2023, you're going to be pleasantly surprised to see that is exactly what I'm going to implement this year.
Awesome.
And we can reflect back on this where the master told the student what to do and how to win.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's it, man. It's simple. You've already built yourself.
I am looking forward over the next couple of weeks. By the time this launches, we are going to have the playbook up and running for everybody listening, for everybody watching. If you visit brokersplaybook.com and go to the podcast section, you will be able to view Matthew's YouTube podcast episode. You can listen to it on any of the major platforms. And of course, download his playbook, his unique advice and value prop as a playbook on the website, brokersplaybook.com. Until next time, Matthew, thank you for being here. Do you have anything to say before we come off?
No, I think it's, thank you for having me. It's been awesome. Pleasure and honor. And, stay tuned because I'm going to have Simeon on mine where he gets to go in on everything that he's knowledgeable and huge on. So I'm excited for that.
I look forward to it, my man. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
To everyone, see you soon. Thank you so very much for spending your time with us here at Broker's Playbook. This is a growing community. If you found value in this video, please invite others to subscribe and, of course, share the videos with. We'll see you soon.